Hello and welcome to my latest Matchpod review for www.mufcglobal.co.uk. We want Glazers out, say we want Glazers out. Manchester United back in action. It's the third of the Monday night trilogies. It is Bournemouth at Old Trafford. A team that Manchester United cannot take for granted. They are, if you go on previous form, they're much better than Manchester United in regards of when they play each other. Last two visits to Old Trafford, 2-3-0 drubbings, and they've been 3-0 drubbings where United haven't even couldn't even complain about the fact that they got drubbed 3-0. I think that says a lot about where this football club unfortunately is at the moment. Though the actual weird thing is, Manchester United could push themselves, I think it's up to fifth, I think in the table. Obviously, as I say, a very tight league. Bournemouth, who haven't won in six, since I think they beat Forest, but they haven't won a game in six. So, probably perfect to come to Old Trafford to play Manchester United, bearing in mind their performance in the last two home games. As I say, the disgusting performance against Everton and what could only be, I'd say underwhelming against West Ham, but that's been generous. It was poor against West Ham as well. As I say, two matches that they should have won both, but they haven't. You have to get the points. The manager was speaking in the press conference. He mentioned again that United should have more points, but shoulda, woulda, coulda. You have to get the job done. Obviously, he's under a bit of pressure because Paul Scholes has basically said Amorim shouldn't be the man. Shouldn't be the manager at Manchester United. He doesn't understand the football club. You know, ex-players can make their comment, and you know they are players that have performed well for this football club. I mean, since they've stopped playing football, they've not done that good a job owning a football club, which is basically useless. And a couple of them have tried to be managers, and they're not very good. But to be fair, the manager, he's taken that on board. He knows it's about the fact that he's not doing as well as they would like him to do, and he should be doing a lot better. And he's right; he should be doing a lot better. There are a lot of other people at the football club who should be doing a lot better as well, who are bigger issues and a bigger part of the problem. But as I say, as a manager, you're not winning matches; you're putting the pressure in. A defeat tonight again, he'll be back into that doom loop, especially with games against Villa, Newcastle. I mean, Newcastle, who have been absolutely awful away from home, don't worry, they'll turn up at Old Trafford because United will have let them. Well, it's the fact that United's midfield, as I say, is probably the worst in the Premier League if everybody had their players fit. I have no doubt even Wolves midfield is better if they had their key players in, I would say. And I think Wolves are probably thinking maybe we should have done what we did against Arsenal, against Man United, and actually tried to defend instead of trying to play football. because even this useless Manchester United team at times, if a side tries to play football games, that isn't as good, and Wolves, and the act of confidence Wolves do, United can do what they did to them last week. But the teams, obviously there's been issues around AFCON. It would have been a bit of a disgrace if United had lost players, because the Premier League decided to move them onto a Monday night. Although, as I say, he didn't have to buy Brian and Boomer, but it's a good job he did, because if he didn't, we'd have bigger problems, because we need Cunha to step up a little bit more. But Mazraoui didn't play. I did actually look at the AFCON. It's in Morocco. See, they play the first match next Sunday, I think it is. So it's not a surprise he's not even in the squad, that he has gone. But Mbeumo and Ahmad do start their games. I think both their games start on Christmas Eve, and they're both in the same group as well. So hopefully they'll both be useless and they'll be back sooner rather than later, because United are going to miss those players. But it's Lemenz in goal. I think it'll be a back three of Yoro, Heron and Luke Shaw, Dalot and Ahmad as the wide players. Bruno Fernandes and Casemiro in the middle. Still persevering with that, well, not very good midfield, let's be perfectly honest. Easy to play against, well, unless you're Wolves, that is. As I say, even West Ham, they dominated them, but were better than them when we played them again. I mean, 10 man Everton were better than them. I mean, their midfield, a little bit on Dennis soon as well. And then up front, it's that fluid front three of Mason Mount, Cunha and Mbeumo. Apparently Mason Mount is making the charge for the England team. I mean, play three reasonable games in a row like Dalot first, I think, Mason. I mean, as I say, that's right, nationality says a lot in this country. Ridiculous articles. Turn up, play well consistently, especially on the wager. You're on, Mr. Mount. Dennis has he has been in touch, no surprise. Seeking a Bournemouth win tonight, I hope so. And then United deserve nothing. I want Amorim gone, as there's a risk he might be successful. I'm not quite sure what that means. As I say, he is a little bit on the wind off. As I say, well, he won't come on the pod unless he's paid, he's told me. But you never know, we might be able to sneak him in at some point. It's Everton Arsenal on Saturday. I might be seeing him that night. So that should be interesting. Arsenal probably knocked off the top of the table by that point, probably, because, as I say, they're choking a little bit, but you know, there's still a long way to go in the season. So I'm at the game tonight. I'm in a different seat. I'm actually in the same seat I was two seasons ago when I watched Bournemouth batter us 3-0. So hopefully it won't be like that. I've not got a really good record sitting up top there. We don't score a lot of goals in the position that I'm going to be sitting today. I think the only goal that they scored last season when I was sitting in that position was a penalty. So, new season, new hope, shall we say. So, as always, I will be back post-match. Let's see if Manchester United can actually turn up and put in a consistent performance for more than, maybe 5 or 10 minutes. As I say, Bournemouth, they've got some of their big guns in there. Semenyo and Evan Nilsson have always caused United problems. And as I say, some people could argue they've got a better strike force than ours. Sesko is back on the bench, so that's a bonus. He, as I say, we'll be losing Mbeumo after today, so we need him to step up. And as I say, when he plays, maybe we'll put some crosses in, because we'll put them in for Xerxes. So we'll see how things pan out. So as always, post-match, I will be back. All over Old Trafford, it's finished. Manchester United 4, Bournemouth 4. An absolutely brilliant game of football, but another match where United have dropped, and not as badly, but basically 2 points have slipped away from them again. And a lot of it is the usual issues: lack of leadership, extreme naivety on the pitch, just not doing some basic, simple defending in the midfield that can just be run through, probably by me and my friends, who are in our sort of late 40s and 50s and could run through that Manchester United midfield. But you know, credit to Bournemouth, they kept coming back, they kept fighting back. United fought back in what was an absolutely cracking game, which when it did go to 4-3, I did say, yeah, we could still lose this 5-4. And thanks to Senna Mendes, we didn't, because he made two excellent saves towards him. One with his foot that was really important, and then another one that he made. It was more straightforward, but he managed to bat it out away from the danger, unlike Onana, who probably would have batted it straight to a Bournemouth player in blue. But regarding the match, United were in complete control. They started the game well for a change, apart from the last two home matches, where they've been, well, as I say, disgusting and poor, let's be perfectly honest. But they start both those games poorly and didn't really manage to sort of get into any rhythm, but they managed to get into rhythm really quickly here. There was a chance within the first couple of minutes where Ahmad would run through, and it was just a poor pass to Mbeumo, but that lack of clarity, that sort of lack of accuracy from Manchester United is what is a massive problem, was a big problem tonight, because if you get that clarity and accuracy correct, you're in position to be two or three or four goals up in that early part of the game. And then further shots on goal came before Manchester United did take the lead. Cross from Dalot, lovely, and the keeper sort of, I think Cunha went to head it, he didn't get a touch on it, and then Ahmad put the ball into the back of the net. And then there was a great chance for Mbeumo. He didn't have as great of games. I think him going to AFCON is going to be good. To say, I think he's getting like the United disease, where you start off well, but then things start going pear-shaped. I think getting away with Cameroon will be a good thing, decontaminate and then come back. Maybe not fresh, but just come back, completely clear and without infection, shall I say. But a lovely bit of play from Cunha, lovely little touch, beautiful cross. And Boom, who's got to at least hit the target. It was a difficult one, but he's got to at least hit the target. And it probably flies into the back of the net. So it was so close to the goalkeeper. But for United, they actually, you know, squandering all them chances. They were made to pay. Semenyo, poor play from Luke Shaw. I mean, Dallow's pass wasn't great, but Luke Shaw, just so weak. Semenya ran through, beautiful finish with his right foot. I think he's left foot with his right foot, and say he's available in the January transfer window. But, I mean, United scored 8 goals in 2 matches. Maybe they don't need any forward players, really. Midfield is where the issues lie. But then just before half-time, corner to the back stick, header from Casemiro, the keeper fumbled it. 2-1 to United, and United deserved to be ahead at half-time, but, you know, while one... I don't think anybody would have had any complaints if United were maybe 2 or 3 goals ahead, but they got themselves ahead at half time, so a positive to go in at half time. Less than a minute into the second half, it's 2-2. It's absolutely shocking defending. Dallow did go down. Bournemouth play on, which is what you should do because it's up to the ref to stop the game. Such naivety and weakness, lack of leadership on the pitch. Ball through to Evan Nilsson. Brilliant finish into the corner of the net, 2-2. I mentioned Semenyu, I mentioned Evan Nilsson. Apparently, Semenyu hadn't scored since October the 3rd, and I don't know, Evan Nilsson had a bit of a goal drought. So, you know, just come to Old Trafford or just play Man United, will allow you simple goals. It was just a simple run and ball. It was absolutely awful. And then their third goal, which was shocking from United, Bruno Fernandes loses the ball. They're attacking, loses the ball ridiculously, players completely out of position. Casemiro, treading ice, takes, I don't know who he took down, but he took down a Bournemouth player before they could probably put it through for a player to have a clear run on goal. But then from the free kick, the wall set up, the men's is too far across, the wall is weak, and there's a gap for Tavernier to blast it into. And if he hits it hard enough or well enough, which is exactly what he did, 3-2. And then for the next sort of 5-10 minutes, it was an absolute shambles from Manchester United. They just lost control on the pitch. A game they were doing well in. They were playing well in. I mean, compare the last two home games, I'm doing much better. Actually, I'd actually say compared to the Palace game, they were playing much better. But they just lost control for the next sort of 5-10 minutes, and just, you know, Bournemouth thankfully decided to go down the time wasting route at that point. What they probably should have done is actually gone for the jugular. They could have maybe got a third, they maybe could have got a fourth goal, and, you know, that would have seen United off, because with this weak mentality team, they would have just probably just shut up shop and thought, oh, we can't win this game. But United wrestled a little bit of control back. And then just with under 15 minutes to go, Bruno free kick, Bruno Fernandes, fantastic free kick into the side of the goalkeeper, but there was no chance for the goalkeeper. And then just a couple of minutes later, a break, Sesko had come on, he looked lively. Unfortunately, he seemed to be getting a lot of the ball, unfortunately. Sort of halfway, you know, outside of the penalty box. He's a striker, he's a central man. We want him in the box, to be perfectly honest. And people are creating for him. He broke up, took it off, and Boomer, after Boomer found a little bit of clear space, crossed over, tried to get the ball to Ahmad. It was stopped by the defender, but Cunha picked up the pieces, smashed it into the net, 4-3, ball kicked into the crowd, Cunha kissing the badge. As I say, at that point, I whispered, yeah, we could still lose this 5-4 to the people I was sat with, because I know this Manchester United team. They are weak. They think when they've won a game, when they've scored a goal and they're just a goal up, oh yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, things are looking great, which they are at that time, but it's just, I knew there could be another twist to the tale, and unfortunately there was. Coupe got through, and again, it was, United had a throw-in, and it was sort of thrown up, and then the ball broke, and then there was just nobody in midfield. Ball into Coupe, he's a young player, I think he's from France, and just killed it into the bottom of the net. 4-4, and then sort of into the sort of the period. You know, when it was 4-3, it's like Bournemouth are going to benefit from all their stoppages, all their time wasting, if the ref actually adds the time on. Which, to be fair, he did. 8 minutes of stoppage time, so obviously quite happy to do that. But to be honest, it was more Bournemouth that were doing all the attacking. And as I say, so a couple of excellent saves from the men's to help with the to make sure that Manchester United, you know, gained a point, but this game should have been finished off. And as I say, similarly to the Brighton game, they got themselves 3-0 up and then did their very best to actually throw away that result. And I'll mention the Boomer again, I'm going to have to, but he did have an opportunity at 3-2. 3-2 down for Manchester United, where he just blasted it over. He just looks... he looks really tired, and he looks like, playing for Man United can take it out of you. But as I say, he's off to the AFCON, as is Ahmad. But United, I don't know what the manager said post match. But I mean, if I was him, I'd be saying things like, "How the hell have we managed to lose that game? The defending was poor. We need to get Delitt back massively." To a lesser extent, Harry Maguire, in regards of at least he'd have a bit more experience in there as the number two guy in this centre. As I say, Delitt is massively missed at the moment because there doesn't seem to be any... Well, there's a lack of leadership on the pitch generally, but there doesn't seem to be sort of much leadership in that defensive area. And to be fair, you've got Aidan Heaven, who's a young player, Yoro, who's... He's having a bad trot at the moment, and he's under pressure, and he does need to do better, but he shouldn't be leading that back line. Luke Shaw should be if he's the elder statesman. But as I say, can you look up to a player that did what he did to allow Semenyo to get his first goal? This is the point. So when United have had opportunities to push themselves up the table and to get results, they've bottled it. They've done an Arsenal. They've bottled it. They've choked. 7 points dropped from 3 home games against Everton, West Ham and Bournemouth. Everton with 10 men, West Ham, who were poor, like us, we're poor as well, and then Bournemouth, who have been on a bad run of games and not won for 6 matches, and United cannot get the result. And I think that says more of a lot about Manchester United than it does about Bournemouth. As I say, credit to Bournemouth for getting themselves back into the game a couple of times and being clinical. As I say, defensively, they weren't at their best either. Oh, and I'd also like to say, I think another player that was really missed today, Mazraoui, who, as I say, I think because Morocco start on within 6 days, United actually lost him today in regards of, obviously, they're the host nation, so they would have 100% wanted him over there. So he was missed because he's been pretty decent in that sort of right centre-back position. And again, he's a more experienced player. And maybe United could have defended better with him in there. And you know that sort of we've got some young players that can play defensively. Martinez did come on, but he was called out to a little bit, except for the Koop goals, the Koopy goals. So issues defensively. There doesn't seem to be many issues going forward, but unfortunately there doesn't seem to be a structure when they go forward. There seem to be massive gaps, and when they lose the ball, because they are absolutely useless at keeping hold of the ball, and in simple positions as well, as I say, that third goal, just watch how Bruno Fernandes loses the ball. It's awful. It's just awful football. And they got punished from the free kick, as I say, the way the wall was set up and the way things happened. As I say, whoever the set piece coach is should be sitting the players down and saying that is absolutely unacceptable. How it just so easily was put through. So close. It was close to the goal edge of the box. So the keeper, to be fair, because it was put right in the right place, who's at fault? Set piece coach, the goalkeeper, the wall, the leadership team, whoever they are, as I say, the people in the leadership team are, they've been players that have let Man United down for years, or some of them are anyway. So it'll be interesting to see what Amorim does now in regards to the AFCON. I mean, people will say that, obviously United have dropped 2 points, and maybe they'll be coming for the manager again. Paul Scholes saying that United don't get this Man United don't get people off their seats. They did today, so it's quite apt that he said that. But as I say, I look at players on the pitch and just leading and making important decisions, the clarity, the accuracy. It's like, I mean, it makes it what happens on the training pitch. We've talked about this under a number of managers, but certain players are still there. But as I say, it's easier to just blame the manager than to blame the players. It's a mix of things, and obviously there are issues further up the chain, as we know. So, 2 points dropped again for Manchester United, and I don't even know what position they go up to. I think one of the guards, as we've said, at least we go above Liverpool. That's all we can say nowadays. We go in above Liverpool. That's our level. Liverpool having a really bad season, by the way, for people who don't know. But anyway, as always, thanks for listening. All pods up at www.mufcglobal.co.uk, up as various podcast platforms, just to Spotify, Podbean, Listen Notes, Pcast, Podchaser. Search MUFC for MUFC Global in your favourite search engine and it will pop up. So next up is Aston Villa. I think they've won 9 or 10 on games in a row. They're well in the title race. They've on a winning run. Man United do like going to Villa Park, to be fair. Villa Park and Goodison Park, I think, are the two places United have got the majority of their away points in the Premier League. So hopefully that will help in that situation. I think it's a place Amorim hasn't been to. I think we drew 0-0 there last season, I think. I think Eric Ten Hag went defensive last year when we went there. So it'll be interesting to see how Amorim sets up. But let's hope they're not exhausted all the goals, because they're going to need to make sure. And say Villa on a charge and playing really well at the moment. So United are going to have to be ready to stand up. They did eventually against Crystal Palace, but as I say, Villa are playing better than Crystal Palace, so you know they've got to stand up for two halves and for more than, let's say, 10-15 minutes of play like they did today. And to finish, Dennis has been in contact. This is what he does because he's so bitter. Salford would beat United. Aren't you embarrassed? Bournemouth need this win. They've been on a bad run. How can the referee add on 4 minutes beyond the eight, cheat adding on Fergie time? It's hilarious. It's hilarious. Bournemouth wasted time in stoppage time and the ref added the time on. I mean, as I say, Dennis maybe should focus on the, at least three teams that he supports. But as I say, we want to get you back on here, Dennis. But as I say, it won't come back on without payment, allegedly. So, but we'll try and get Dennis back on to say what he really thinks. Although it's pretty obvious what he does really thinks. He wants United to fail. And to be fair, once ever in Liverpool, Leicester to do well. But we'll see how that pans out. I think United are, I don't know, I think they're still above Everton. But that, as I say, their league is really tight. One win can jump you up 4 or 5 places at the moment, with a little bit of a gap to the top four, I think, or the top three. Top three, as I say, Villa, Man City and Arsenal at the top. So, as I say, United will probably want to spoil Villa's party on Sunday, but we'll see. I'd say a more to the traditional Sunday 4:30. Next up for Manchester United, I will be with you after the game with a pod around at Friendlinders for our last match before Christmas. So, as always, thanks for listening, and I will be back after the Villa game on Sunday.